I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust here in Nashville for the Americana Music Association's Americana Fest. It's going on now as we're taping this, as you're listening. It's over, but it is going on now as we're chatting. And I'm so honored, so excited to have an Eagle solo star in his own right, Timothy B. Schmidt, on the podcast. Welcome, Timothy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolute honor to have you here. We met real quick in the lobby of the hotel yesterday. And it seemed like you were doing one interview after another, and you're on different panels, and you're doing performances for the whole few days of the festival here. And you said, it's all good. I want to get the word out there. What hit me is you still seem excited as ever to have new music out and to be doing this. Does it, every time you put new music out, it's always exciting? Do you revitalize a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I truly am excited about this because my solo albums are few and far between, but I really think I've done some good work, that I've hit on something here, and plus the people around me are getting the word out a lot better than last time, so hopefully it'll reach more ears than people can make up their own minds, but I am really excited about it. It's really great to be doing something in my life, well, what I've been doing for years, but it's really great being older and actually having some new excitement,
right,
in my being, in my mind. It's great.
Yeah, I actually saw Indigo Girls last night in concert, and it struck me how they're playing with some musicians on stage with them who weren't born when they were first having hits, and that probably has to keep you young too. You're playing with younger musicians. I feel like music keeps you young.
Yeah, definitely. And the other night at the Ryman, at the award show, I was turned on to more than a couple of really great young music acts, and that is really good. When my youngest son was a teenager and couldn't drive yet, I used to take him to all the alternative concerts in Los Angeles,
yeah.
And because I had some connections, we could get backstage and stuff. But mainly, the best part was to see what was going on, what the younger bunch is coming up with, and that was a great education. I missed, you know, sort of being tugged at to go do those things, but the Ryman the other night was really inspirational.
I noticed the Milk Carton Kids got the first standing ovation of the night, and there had been some pretty big acts already on the stage at the Americana Awards before then, and that just showed me that, right, new blood's coming in can always make a connection.
Those two are really good. I like the way, I've only seen them once, that one time, and do that one song, but it seemed to me like their performance and song and the way they did it had a sort of a breathing life to it, which I really liked.
And one of the highlights was the finale with Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, a whole group performance of Will the Circle Be Unbroken. You're on stage with Bonnie Raitt, Steve Earle, Lucinda Williams. You were center stage, by the way. I hope that wasn't lost on you, that you were in the middle of all these stars on stage.
Actually, it was lost on me. I was looking for a mic, and I saw my old friend Jeff Hanna He was there, right there, and it looked like nobody was there with him. And I said, can I do this, Mike? And he said, yeah, sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, I always wonder how staged one of those kind of performances is, where everyone takes a line and it feels so seamless. It's like a We Are the World live. But you're telling me, even at the last minute, you didn't even know what mic you were going to be on.
No, I didn't. And oddly enough, when I told this to John McEwen, I said, I'm not really sure how that song goes. And it was Will the Circle Be, a classic. Right. He said, are you kidding? That's like not knowing Louie Louie. So, of course, when I heard just the first few bars, I knew what it was. And they said, oh, you're going to sing a verse, by the way. Oh, okay. Words? There was actually a teleprompter, right. So that was good. It was fun. It was fun. Those things, if they seem like they're really organized, I don't know how they come off. We did one last night, too, but they tend to come off like you have gone over it, but you haven't.
All right, you fooled us. It felt rehearsed.
We did our job.
One of the other things, one of the messages I feel like I've heard during the whole conference going on here, and I just like this this thinking, because you don't always hear it, or maybe it's not always cool to say, but not all music has to be loud. Not all good music has to be loud. You can, I just like how this is an appreciation of the quieter, gentle side of music, and so many of your songs, partially because of your voice, and just such a relaxing sound that you have, of just kind of nice to hear that there's a whole community. There's 20,000 people in town for this festival who get that.
Well, that is nice. It's a great sort of new niche that's been created, and it's sort of, I think, I can't remember how Bonnie Raitt put it, but it's. Did you remember what she said? She said something about it. This is a place for the rest of us, sort of.
Right.
You know, that isn't on mainstream. Of course, we all hope to be on mainstream, but you know, this is really a great starting point.
So we're taping this actually on Friday, September 23rd. So it's release day for your new album, your sixth solo album, Leap of Faith. Congratulations on release day. Is that always an extra special day? It doesn't happen that often for you.
I actually woke up in my hotel room, and when my head started thinking, I went like, oh, today's the day. Great. I'm going to go see if there's any more buzz about it. And there has been, which is really nice.
All right. So it's a country Americana album. For people who know your music, who know the Poco and the Eagle sound, it's pretty much along those lines, maybe a little bit more on a countryish bluegrass bent in a couple places. Red Dirt Road, which is sort of the focus track for Americana Radio.
Yeah, that's probably a good focus track for the. I love that term.
So it's my music industry speak.
The FT. That's probably a good one for the Americana market. But it when you listen to the album, you'll see that it doesn't sit right there in that place. It actually wanders all over the place, but there's some sort of like net surrounding it that I didn't plan it this way, but I think it's a coherent piece somehow, and there's a lot of different genres on it.
I like the song My Hat. I like All Those Faces, because I like your melodic pop stuff. I feel like you bring a sense of melody to music that is just a talent. It's just the talent you have. So I always like that. Same song on your last album. We were just talking about before the podcast, the song Friday Night, mm-hmm. Which is on your 2008 album. Yeah, I like that side. I like that side of your
music. Well, that's great. This is all good stuff for me to hear. I appreciate that.
Actually, I wonder how many people ask you about this. Your 1990 album, Tell Me the Truth, was my introduction to you. I was 16 then, so that's before I even really knew Eagles music. I heard that album, and the song Something Sad, always one of my favorites of yours. I feel like that's a total lost classic. I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because when the last two records, Expando and this new one, Leap of Faith, is... they're all self-penned songs. Whereas before, the four other albums before that, I did a lot of collaboration with one or two of just my own written songs on all those others. And if I go back and look at those past albums as a whole, although I learned a lot by collaborating, I seem to always gravitate towards, and that is one of those songs, Something Sad, that I wrote myself. I always kind of, I don't mean to sound self-cocky and stuff, but I genuinely like those songs better. That's why I started, that's why I said to myself, I'm going to like, just no matter how long it takes, I'm going to do whole albums with just me writing.
Right.
It's more satisfying, and the more I do it, I think the better I get, which is another great thing in my getting older ages, you know?
That was, it's something we've noticed on the charts. I've mentioned this on the podcast, but how a lot of hits aren't written by one person anymore. In the 70s, about half the Hot 100, 50 songs each week were written by one person. Now it's down to like one or two. And I've been so excited to hear at the conference a lot of talk about the something special you get out of one person writing a song. Collaboration can be great. That certainly has its value. But it's nice to hear this is a whole genre of music where people really value the one vision of one songwriter.
Yeah, I think this is, I've said this to other people too, but when you collaborate, you know, you always have to give something up. You have to compromise, and which is not always a bad thing. It could be great, you know, that you could be straying somewhere where somebody pulls you back or vice versa. But when you do it yourself, you there are no compromises. You just work on it until you get it to how you want it, and you don't have to run it by anybody else. You say, great, this is finished. I'm going to record this, and this is how I'm going to record it. I don't have to run that past anybody either. And that's a really, it's very self-satisfying to do that. And in the other day in LA, I was listening to a Sirius XM station, and I've heard two different songs already. And these songs that were, I'm just listening, I'm driving up to my house in my car, and I see the little studio that this was on, and it's actually right on the radio. It's great. Yeah. I remember the first time I was on the radio, I was barely 19.
Yeah.
And it's still, especially when it's something you do yourself, where you conceived and recorded yourself, it's still just as exciting.
I always like to ask this, since we're Billboard. Were you aware much of the Billboard chart success in the Eagles' heyday, in the Poco days too? But were you guys aware much, or was it more management side, or any remembrances of, yeah, we're number one for the first time, or anything like that?
I think I was more aware of chart positions back then than I am now. Although I'm getting little notices like the Americana chart and stuff,
right,
and now, so I'm starting to pay attention to that. But I unlike being a songwriter that is just a songwriter and doing that for a living and really looking at that placement for future work or whatever, I'm spared that, and it's really, really nice.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
we said, I could be your lover. You can shine the light. Let's fire up the candle. It's a Friday night.
All right, but it gets into you're talking about compromise and songwriting. Before we did this interview, we were walking in, I mentioned how I liked your song Friday Night, and you told me you pitched that for the Eagles, what became the Long Road Out of Eden album. And you said it didn't, you said Don and Glenn didn't ultimately pick it. So were there times you, because I'm thinking, I don't know how frustrated you could have been, because you always got your voice onto some of these albums. And in watching the Eagles documentary, it became pretty clear that that couldn't have been an easy process, because a lot of songs were obviously sung by Don or by Glenn, and you always had pretty good representation vocally.
Well, yeah, thanks. I was the third singer, so that was good. You know, my place in that band was, I always knew what my place was in that band. I you know, it was, they chose me, and they don't choose anything lightly. And I knew that I had to fulfill the spot and do the best I could. And you know, I just, you know, it wasn't the first time they said no to a song I wrote, and I just like put it in my hip pocket. That's what I did with that song Friday Night. Right. Put it in my hip pocket. I think this is a good song. I'm not going to cry over this. We'll just move forward.
I always thought too, and the Hell Freezes Over album, I know, Get Over It was the first single, but When Love Will Keep Us Alive became the real pop hit from it. I remember thinking at the time, oh, that's so strange that they went with the song for the comeback that isn't Don or Glenn. I still love the song. That's just a testament to you and the strength of that song.
That song came from my really good friend Paul Carrick and two other writers. Jim Capaldi was one of the writers too. He and I were working together, thinking about putting something together with some other people at one point, and that was one of the songs he brought. And then when we started looking for songs for, that was Hell Freezes Over, right? For that record, they liked that one the best, and I said, great, you know, let's do it.
And the documentary, I became obsessed with that a few years ago. I don't know how many times I've watched it. I'm not even a big rock documentary fan, but there was something so honest and open about this one. What's your take, and what was it like being a part of it for you?
Well, the good thing about that, there's a lot of good things, I think one of the main things is this was everybody's present and past members' chance to give their side and say whatever they wanted about whatever. And I think that was done, that was shown in the documentary. And that honesty of being able to say what's on your mind was important to everybody to make it come across that way. It sounds like maybe it did for you.
It came across to me that you were maybe the sort of a peacemaker role in the band with some of all the conflict, especially in the later years, because you were there for kind of the second half of the decade.
Well, I don't know. I always tried to talk to people, and I kind of knew when to shut up and when to, and by the way, my opinions, it was always listened to. It wasn't, you know, that way at all. And, you know, some of my ideas flew and some didn't. I'm really uncomfortable around conflict, but I've also found that the best way to deal with that is to like stare it down not be belligerent. I don't mean that, but to actually recognize it and then see what your choices are with it. You have to see what your part is in this conflict. If it's over there somewhere, there's no need for me to go in.
Right. And also, you're coming into the band, so maybe there was a sense I kind of have to defer to Don and Glenn.
Well, this band was together, you know, and had tremendous success. I came in right on the coattails of Hotel California. I knew that they knew what they were doing, and But the transition, moving over from another band, wasn't that difficult. For one thing, I knew that I would do a good job, and I knew that I was a good choice, and obviously they thought so too. So that was all okay. I didn't feel like nervous about anything. I just had to, like, you know, slowly see the lay of the land. And it, to me, that these conflicts that I picked up on were no different than any conflicts in any other band I'd been in.
Right.
I just thought it was just normal rock and roll disgruntlement now and then, but it turned out that it had been building a lot long time before I was even there. But I kind of chose to ignore it and try and do what I could to do my part.
Well, you all had your part, because Don and Glenn had formed the core of it, and then you had Joel Walsh with the rock side, and you brought the softer side. It just made for a great for that era of the Eagles. Everyone brought their own sound to the Eagles that just really rounded it all out at that point.
Yeah, I got in. I was really fortunate. I got into a good thing, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, let me ask you, since the passing of Glenn Frides, it's been a bad year for so many people. Future of the Eagles. I want to ask you, hear it from you. What do you know? What's your take on the future of the Eagles?
Right now, there's no future for the Eagles. I'm not saying that. My take is that who knows what's going to happen in the future. Maybe Don and Joe and I will get together on some level, but I would personally feel uncomfortable calling it the Eagles.
Right.
It's just, I think the Eagles are over. Glenn was such a big presence. He sort of orchestrated it all. He's the guy who did, a lot of the planning along with Don, but Don had the good sense to work that in a very gracious way. We'll just have to see. I have no answer for that. We have not talked about that at all yet.
A lot of times you want a band to come back no matter what. Even, you know, the Beatles put out new music with John Lennon's vocals. But it almost feels like I'd be okay if you ended that chapter and that was the Eagles. When I saw the Grammys performance last year, it almost feel like it was maybe a little too soon to be performing as a band together right after Glenn had passed?
Well, we questioned that, but we all thought, you know, we should give him a good send-off. And that's what we did. We rehearsed the song kind of like we would have before with Jackson this time, and we just did it. And then left the building, you know? It was that simple.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. It was a nice send-off. It was a present for Glenn. That's probably the best way to look at it.
Or maybe more for, well, not just his remembering him, but for his family, too.
All right, well, the new album is Timothy B. Schmidt, Leap of Faith. What's your favorite song on the album, Timothy?
Oh, I don't know if I have a favorite song, but one I'm pretty partial to, there's more than one, but the one that comes to my mind first is the song All Those Faces, because it's a song I wrote. It's sort of a free-form thought process song, and I just... And it's very kind of basic, and I really like it. And I played a lot of stuff on it. I played bass, guitar, harmonica, and I played the drums.
Yeah.
And the bonus for me was that my oldest daughter, Jedra, sang all the harmonies on it.
Ah.
And I did not do that to placate her or because she's my daughter. She's really talented.
Yeah.
She's got a really good voice. One of the things that was really satisfying to me is like she knows how to do it. The easiest and direct way to say this is that she reminded me of me as a singer. Because I was asked in years past to sing on a lot of different things, and I think people asked me to do it because I kind of knew what to do instinctively. It's probably one of the things I knew how to do best. And she was showing me that. Plus, there's a timbre in her voice that reminds me of me. And it was, we both like were smiling at each other, going like, yeah, this sounds so good. That's one of them. I like the song What I Should Do. It's because even though when I picked up guitars, electric guitars with my friends and learned surf music, I was still hearing Memphis and Memphis soul and Motown on the radio.
Right.
And so that definitely got in there. And this was a lot of fun. There's a song in here called The Island, which I did with Al Jardine's sons.
Ah.
They both sang a harmony with me, and which was perfect because they sound Beach Boy-like, which is what I wanted on this.
Well, that mixes with your voice, with the harmonies. Yeah. It just sounds like a natural.
So, I mean, I could go through all of them, but, I wouldn't have put anything on here that wasn't happy with.
Right. I like the artwork, too. It's maybe a lost art, no pun intended at this point, but there's a nice oil painting image on the back. Artwork still matters to me, I think.
Oh, me too. There's the back painting and the front etching are done by this great artist named Enrique Martinez Celaya, and he's one of my wife's and my favorite artists. And I first saw this etching. When I first saw this, my wife gave me an artist print of this. It's big. It's in our place in New York. And I just said, this has to be an album cover. It has to be an album cover because of these beautiful creatures around this ghost-like figure's throat.
Right.
And it's very apropos for me.
And you mentioned your wife, your daughter. Are you the cool eagle? I know you said in the documentary, I'm an eagle when it's time to be an eagle. Are you just Timothy, your dad? You're the husband at home.
I have a sort of a normal life, you know. Well, when I was younger, being on stage in Poco and Eagles, and even maybe before that, I sort of assimilated more that being more a part of me than not.
Right.
And now it's because you're on stage or you hear yourself on the radio and you're kind of bigger than life, but really it's science fiction.
Right.
Because when you go back to your home. Or your hotel room or whatever, it stops. You go like, oh God, you know, I think I'll have some water and whatever, you know, have some lunch and brush my teeth, whatever, right. You know.
Everyone I've talked to have said he's the most humble, nicest guy, and that's totally the sense I'm getting here. That you just seem really appreciative of everything.
Well, I'm a grateful being. I'm so fortunate in especially doing. Being able to do what I do for so long on such a level, because there are so many talented people out there, this is not going to happen for it, and I don't know why, but I'm thankful for it.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to come on the Billboard Chart Beat Podcast, Timothy.
Thanks for having me. When we get on down that mountainside, take the red dirt road. When you reach that wall, then you'll know. You don't need no diamond ring. You don't need.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.